Hey, it's Bill Simmons. Did I tell you that we relaunched our TV podcast that is now called the Prestige TV Pod? We did it in time for Succession, which is launching in October. But there's so many good shows this fall. We got Yellowstone and Billions and Insecure. We have The Shrink Next Door. Is Mayor of Kingstown going to be good? We're going to be breaking all of it down. The morning show season finale, we are going to be here. Like, we're going to treat it like we treat the NBA playoffs. If there's a really good, prestigious TV show, we're breaking it down in this feed. Check it out. The Prestige TV Pod from the Ringer Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Listeners, welcome. This is Sound Ovi. I'm Justin Cherry.
And I'm Mike Peters.
We're your sound-only co-hosts, here to record our deepest, darkest thoughts in this deepest, darkest Black History Month about the millennial lifestyle, anime, video games, hip-hop, R&B, cultural appropriation,
and apparently about things that don't matter. Yeah, it's just like I'm upset. Listen, I want everybody to know up top for posterity that like I don't want to talk about this today.
Like you're not.
Like I'm not trying to. Like listen, I'm not. Listen, I am being. You seen that one picture of like you know the young lion being dragged into the enclosure and the like with the red dirt enclosure somewhere in West Africa by like his toes.
What videos are you watching? You know?
And like I am the internet. Anyway, that's what's happening right now. I'm being dragged kicking and screaming into discourse today. I did not want to discourse. Rarely ever do I want to discourse.
No, I mean, I have no defense against this. Mike is right. I'm imposing this topic.
Jacques Hughes.
I'm imposing this topic as somebody who I myself have, for the past 84 years of my life, not wanted to talk about it either. But Twitter does this thing where they take it too far. And Twitter takes it too far for years on end. And now you have Awkwafina, cyber-bullied Asian former rapper turned current movie star, and also Comedy Central show that I have not watched an episode of. Awkwafina, with the five-part Notes app apology for her Black scent.
Which, I mean, like, listen, even without any sort of, not even cursory knowledge of what was going on today before 5 minutes before we began taping, and, like, literally knowing as much as you know now if you're listening, is the final step in, like, you know, the transformation from Awkwafina to whatever her legal government name is. Nora Lum. Yes. It's like, you know, the last step on, you know, the road to, you know, your rehabilitation Oscar and, you know, having your government name as instead of like, you know, the one that you came up when you were high as shit on a couch with your college buddies is the 5-part Notes app apology. And, you know, you jeer, someone laughs, someone else forgives, and we all die a little inside, and you know, the world keeps spinning.
Okay, but see, here's my thing, right? And let's set context for listeners who don't either like don't know Awkwafina at all, or maybe just know her from like a couple of movies, you know, Crazy Rich Asians or Oceans, and like, and specifically people who do not remember, yeah, The Farewell. Specifically, people who do not remember Nora Lum's rap career, which is when I first was introduced to Awkwafina. That's where Awkwafina, the moniker, comes from. She was a rapper. She's from Queens. She's Chinese and Korean. And she was definitely part of that wave that you remember, right? Of ironic. Like, you don't want to sort of disparage. Like, I think her interest and investment in hip-hop culture was real. But also, you know, you remember that shit when it was the wave of sort of cutesy, ironic rap that felt like it was kind of a joke, but kind of half serious, but also kind of a joke. And she did that one song about, she did My Vag. Like, that right there, that song title right there sort of communicates the level she was sort of punching at in, like, the mid-2010s. You know what I mean? That's Awkwafina.
Yeah.
And sort of like attendant to that is that she has like a certain affect, right? And it's, I think this is what bugs me about what has become this discourse around Awkwafina is like, yeah, she has an affect and her affect is doing all of the kind of like coinage and twangs of like rapper voice. And the default or the sort of median rapper voice is Black, right? And so what you get is like, this Asian girl who sometime is like talking out of the side of her neck a little bit. And I want to make clear here, because it's the basis for my frustration with this discourse, right? Even granting all of the things I just said about Awkwafina, she is not Iggy Azalea, right? Like her posture is not like, she is not out here doing a whole sort of buffoonish wannabe hood rat routine as a white chick from Australia. She's not out here showing her ass. She just has this affect. Like, Stefan, I don't know. We should probably like play a clip that's sort of suggestive of what people are talking about, maybe.
Follow the queen, live your dream, but don't sleep, because she might disappear. Saw that?
And I think part of what's happened with this discourse, right, is like, yes, I think we could all agree that Awkwafina talks in a certain way. But Twitter has kind of like latched onto this over the years, like they found fucking Osama bin Laden. And I think that's the thing that bugs me about it is like, like, it's like, yes, she has a Black sin. OK, it's OK. But you like,
I think that this it's really like because it becomes this very quickly, like. It is the, like, you know, the one surfacing clip or the offending clip or whatever it is, you know, comes back up every 5 years or so. And it's the low water bar before a quick rush towards this is why we could never have anything and so on and so forth, which I mean, like it's not like there's no truth to that. Like, I mean, like that it's there's deep-seated frustration built over years and multiple things, like, you know, Macklemore apologizing to Kendrick for winning a Grammy. And the like, you know, like, you know, other dumb mawkish white people shit. There's like I think that there's a tendency to project or for like you to exercise a lot of whatever it is, like excess stuff you have going on onto this thing that really doesn't matter. Just let this person be corny. Like, it's, and you know, it's another one of those things that I just feel like you lose if you take it seriously. And this is coming like as like somebody who like earlier in their critical career was like heavy on taking moralist stances on things, which is honestly the most boring thing that you can do when looking like askance on something.
Like, but say more about that. Like, why? About it over the years? Like, what? Because I feel
well, I mean, like it's just like it's because I mean, let's see. Like, because, you know, because really what it is that, like, the moralist stands as the most ineffectual one that tells you the least about something. Like, there's, because it, let's be real. You know, no amount of cyberbullying or yelling or whatever is going to stop the unstoppable momentum of what I described before, which was like, you know, I did my awkward rap troupe college year things and like, you know, I was just a kid. And now I want trophies, so I need to leave childish things behind. Here's a Notes app apology. It's textbook. Like, it's more like useful to examine how these things happen than it is to bellyache about them happening or how they've happened. Like, you know, like, do you know what I'm getting at? Like, there's,
yeah, yeah,
I think something lost if you get manifestly vitriolic about, you know, if you take something instantly away from like the issue at hand and quickly generalize it and turn it into like a cause célèbre versus like, how did, you know, Nora end up?
Yeah. There? So this is the thing, right? Cause it's like, it to me, okay, the moralism part, right? It's not precluding the idea of having a conversation about it, right? But it's about saying that, like, the interesting thing to do, and people, I feel like a lot of people in this discourse over the years have rejected this when people are trying to geolocate, like, why exactly this woman from Queens has this accent, despite the fact she's not Black. Like, that's interesting. As a journalist, like, yeah, have a conversation about that. Or as a fan, have a conversation about it. But that's actually fascinating, right? Like, how did Nora Lum?
It's like it's less. It's
like
less
this?
Interesting. It's less interesting to be like, you know, to state the obvious, which is, you know, like, she, you know, got to where she's at by cozying up to, you know, Black or, you know, rap adjacent aesthetics, and then, you know, like, shirking them as soon as she wanted some air of respectability, blah, 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 blah. Like, everybody fucking does that, whatever. The interesting part of it is that there's a large, large, like, group of people that you run into on a daily basis, like, I mean, like, in large major metropolitan areas where that have that like affect the same yes. thing, which is like a more interesting phenomenon to like examine. Like, I want like more stuff. Like, one time I went to this edition of Pop-Up Magazine, and I think it was I forget what his actual name is, but it's at Dex Digi on Twitter and Instagram, and I think he went by Dex Digital. Like, that was his byline at like Vice when he was writing mm-hmm. there. But he did like this piece about this pirate radio station it wasn't a pirate radio station. Maybe it was a pirate radio station, but it was also like this chat book of comics that like in the subculture in Japan around like 90s rap music, where it was just like a bunch of, where it started out at like, I'm going to get the story wrong because like I need to revisit it, but like it's more interesting for like to examine how these subcultures like start and how they persist than it is to finger wag at somebody for coming out of one and like, you know, gaming the system the way that everybody else does. I'm not saying that like, you know, your feelings aren't valid, etc. But it's just kind of like I'm saying that critically, they're like more or less ineffectual.
Yeah. Yes. I agree with that. And I also want to note too, we've mentioned an apology, but she didn't really apologize. Like, okay. Twitter.
So much it was like as if
she's explaining. It's more explanation than apology.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah. Like, and it's just like, let me make sure that I, you know, it's, You know what it is? The way that this thing looks and reads is more so like straight up 10th grade English 5 paragraph structure, where it's just kind of like, let me make sure that I tick all the boxes and come to a conclusion.
No,
rather than it is being like...
Well, actually, the structure I agree with. You're right. It is driven. Yeah, it does feel like it's a teacher gave it an A for structure. I agree with that part of it.
Exactly. But, you know, that's what I mean. I mean, like, it's like there's a like the a teacher definitely gave this apology letter an A for structure. I like, but again, this is like even post, like, you know, the review of the notes app apology becoming like a valid form of literary criticism,
like which 6 years
like
ago,
this has been going on for some time. Yeah, I mean, like, so it's just like if you're fucking it up now, like that's on you.
No,
like,
but see, that's the part I disagree. If you read, like, I don't think she's fucking it up. Like, I actually think that in a very deliberate...
No. I'm saying that, like, what I mean is that, like, I don't think she's fucking it up.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that, like, I don't think she's fucking it up, but it tells me nothing because it's just, like, again, a teacher gave it an A for structure. How do I know? Like, it's just, like, there is no amount of words that would make me less dubious about this thing. You get what I'm saying? So like that's what it's more useful to choose any other part of it, you know, to be quizzical about.
Yeah, to me it's just that
like, don't act as brand new as the person making the apology. Is basically what I'm saying.
I think that's a good rule of thumb. I think that she's standing her ground though in a lot of it, and that I do think that the thesis, if we're talking about something that got an A for structure, I feel like the thesis of that notes app, right, is her saying basically that she came by her voice honestly. Like, I think that's what she's telegraphing, and she has all this stuff where she's talking about like the dominant culture, which I feel like is code for white people, right? Sort of like having this weird exploitative relationship to black people. But then at the same time, what she's engaging with is the idea that like, yeah, hip hop became the biggest thing in America, right? It's like next to jazz, it's like the American creative export. And a lot of people, like, I don't know, a lot of people were raised on it, and she's not white. And it's like, I think part of that, what she wrote is dedicated to kind of rejecting out of hand the idea that like the characterization of like, yeah, she just sort of like was making fun of black people until she got famous and started doing roles like The Farewell. And now she's off that. Like, I think she's saying that like, no, there is like a sincere attachment to a way of speaking that is in fact related to her authentic self, even if sometimes she's like exaggerating it in like a comedic role. And that, yeah, she doesn't want to just be like, I don't know. I think she's trying to say that, like, she's not, at no point has she been making fun of or, like, cosplaying as anybody. And I kind of do buy that because I do remember the Awkwafina rap career. And I do think she, like, she dressed like a normal-ass girl. You know what I mean? Like, she very much knew who she was.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, Get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
I think that like it's just one of those situations where it's difficult to divorce your own sort of, you know, twingy feelings about like, you know, I'm trying to like figure out like a way to like a comparison to make that doesn't sound like too uncharitable, but like, you know, not like the worst person you know is right about something. And like, you know, you have squirmy feelings about it. It's really just kind of like, you know, it's a nexus of, yeah, I don't like, it's like, there's nothing about me that is going to ever not flinch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, with it, like with in that sort of situation. But at the same time, like I've gotten, it feels like so Pollyannish to say that like you've grown to a place where, but it's just like, you know, man, whatever. Like it's really like, you know, that when those stories are going around about like white women that were trying to give themselves 4C hair by twisting it around a fork like really tight, and they were giving themselves like wild ass migraines. And it was like so funny to me. I was just like, damn, you want it that bad. Like, this is great entertainment. Like it's really like, you know, you step back from it and it's just kind of like, what really, I'm trying to think more about like exactly less about, because in like, you know, when we're talking about art, like who the quote unquote victims of this are, and like more yeah. so where, like how this art came to exist.
Yeah. I want to seize on that for a second. Who the victims of this are, right? I think about this a lot. Like when you were working through the sort of art of the Notes app apology, right? Like, I know on Damage Control, like both me and Cam, and then me and Kate, we talked all the time about like the apology as like a subject of arts criticism at this point, right? The like online sort of like, you know, yeah. it's like we're rating figure skating, right? At this point.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. Oh, triple sow cow. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like you, it's just like, oh, Mario Batali added a cinnamon roll recipe to the end of his apology letter for yeah, that was real. I've never seen any shit like
that
before.
I didn't even make that up.
That happened. Like I was like, it's really like it's crazy out there, man. Like I've seen it all. Like, so it's really like, it's really like at this point, it's just like, I'm really golf clapping. Like if you make a point in a Notes app apology, or if it seems like, you know, you might have pissed off the least amount of people writing that. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go grocery shopping. You know what I mean? Like it's.
but you know what it is? For
okay.
Me? It's like. This is like one of the things that makes me feel, it's like the horizon you cross where you start to feel like an old fashioned person, right? Because to me, if you're apologizing for something, right? Apologies are about your standing, and you're standing with the person you did something to, right? So like, remember when fucking, what was it? Alison Roman and Chrissy Teigen were fighting over some shit. And to me, it was just like, look, y'all out here apologizing to the other. It's like, you need to call her. Like, I don't need to be a part of this. I'm just like an innocent person.
I don't
want to
know.
I'm not
that, like,
a party.
It's just like, why are you tweeting this?
Yeah. You didn't hurt me. It's like, if you have an issue, yeah. you need to go to the person with the issue. And like the way in which something like social media makes it so that like I somehow random black dude on the internet am also it's entitled so to much, this apology.
Like it's like it is it's a misnomer. Yeah, it's a misnomer. And so like it's a misnomer because it's not an apology. It's just like, you know,
it's PR. It's public relations.
I've been like, I've been watching. Like I've been rewatching. I like, you know, like as a mindless thing to have on in the background as you, you know, do work that just kind of like drones on, like been kind of going back through How I Met Your Mother. One of the
I'm so happy you said this on with my girlfriend.
Right. It's just like it's, and I'm serious. Like no, but like there's like I'm one of the moments that I like picked up and paid attention and remembered like that the show was like extremely made in 2005 because people don't act like this. Was like after Marshall and Lily broke up and he goes to like a party with his law school friends and he's just like, hey, turn off the music and get everybody gather around. Like, is this one of them? Because one person asks him, hey, where's Lily? And he goes, hey, turn off the music and everybody gather around. And I was just like, motherfucker, you're not turning off the music in a party to give to flip over a soapbox and give a speech about something that happened to you. Like, this is like, yeah. I don't understand why you're trying to become the main character. And I was just like, it's very like, that is what a Notes app apology feels like to me now. I don't care. Like it's like it's not for like it's just like I don't know, it's like it's like really like, you know, staggering into Starbucks and declaring that, you know, I've seen the light, but also you misunderstood me. And it's just kind of like, great, you know, like you gotta place an order or leave though. Like there's it's really like where I'm at on basically all Notes app apologies.
Yes.
It's because it's a ridiculous medium. It's a ridiculous medium. Like you know it is.
It is, but to bring it back, real, that was a beautiful soliloquy on your part, I want to say. But to bring it back, like even so, something like Alison Robin versus Chrissy Teigen, that was like a thing where at least it was clear sort of like who did what to whom, right? And then you get even more abstract situations like Ock, right? Where it's like, for all of the acting, like people have been hunting Osama bin Laden for 5 years and finally got her. It's just like, who did Awkwafina, like the thing that bugs me is like, who did Awkwafina, like who is the person? I don't get it. I don't get what people think. Like, it's so weird to watch an argument like this culminate to this level because it's just
somebody's laptop? Did she like, you know, was this somebody else's song that she like? I mean, there's. Yeah, I like it's really. And this is not like I want to be painfully clear that this is not to say that we like this, that either of us believe that Nora Love is blameless in anything that she's done or whatever.
No, and it's that, corny. You know, like, that, the black sin is corny.
There's never been any missteps. It's just like, it's corny. Like, it's corny. It's and at the odd. Same time, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's just, it's more so like, this is, it's really like, again, a step in a PR ladder towards like, you know, award season, not anything else other than that. And that's like, and that's also fine, but I don't know why we're treating it like anything other than what it is, because what is materially gained? What's changed? Has anybody learned anything? Like this has anything been clarified for real, or are we still having the same discussion we were having before this Notes app apology came out?
Yeah. And to clarify, when I say corny, I mean like insofar as anything about her voice is authentic and consistent. That's cool. I'm just saying that, like, yeah, I do watch the sort of more exaggerated clips that I think people point to as like the evidence for the grand jury. And yeah, those are the things where I'm like, yes, that's corny. I agree with you. I agree with her. You know what I mean? It's like, but I don't know, man. Like, I kind of want to.
It's corny, but it worked. So like, it's like, all right, so where are we at now?
Yeah. But can we bring it like, okay, last episode, right? We were talking about Sifu and we were talking about the cultural appropriation discourse around that game. And, you know, the two of us were kind of like in agreement, right? That it feels kind of like the whole idea of a cultural appropriation discourse in general is kind of dead. And I was like listening to a convo with Jay Kang on his podcast. And, you know, he sort of threw out the same idea, right? The idea that cultural appropriation discourse, by the way, his podcast is Time to Say Goodbye. Go listen to it. They were talking about Awkwafina and Linsanity on it recently. But like Kang's, he characterized it as a ghost ship. He is like, cultural appropriation discourse feels like a ghost ship at this point. And the idea is that like people almost sort of have backlashes to things based in cultural appropriation discourse out of impulse or like reflex more than anything else. And we've kind of forgotten what even the arguments are about when we, you know, or like what the core motivation is. Yeah,
like it's really, it's sort of, it's whatever it is that motivates you to quote tweet the same thing that everybody else is dunking on. and that's not to say that like, you know, like either of us have been ever been like exempt from it. What I mean is, but it's a similar impulse. Like there's like sort of, you know, the thing that we were describing last week is just kind of like, you know, this is cultural appropriation and that's tea type of like tone to
it. Yeah,
yeah. Like it's just kind of like, you know, it's just kind of like expecting that somebody's going to there's an audience that's going to stand up and like, you know, give you a raucous standing ovation like for saying that, you know, women are people. Like I get where it comes from, but like it's also like a knee-jerk reaction rather than, you know, like anything considered.
Stefan, you have to splice it at some point in this episode that like the meme of the No Country for Old Men clip.
Look, you know I always keep it hunted, and that's tea.
That's not what I heard.
I heard you're canceled.
Yeah, well, who said that? You know who said it.
Oh, you better miss me with that.
I heard you're canceled. I heard you're canceled, sis, and that's tea.
That is the tone. Like, that's so the tone of cultural appropriation arguments at this point.
People going to the motions and the memes. And I cannot, like, it's really, like, and I cannot understate the extent to which I used to be dumb as hell about this. Like, it goes nowhere. It's totally cyclical. Absolutely tautological.
No, keep throwing out adjectives. You're actually making it sound kind of fire.
No. I'm not going to.
I'm gonna print absolutely tautological on a t-shirt. Like freeway, just bars off.
Take that money, you'll make that one.
Yo, what's wrong with you? I don't know, man. I don't know.
A lot of things, man. I have internet brain. Yeah, it's.
But the reason I forced you to have this conversation, one, you got a lot of bars off, but two, is like, it's because the Awkwafina thing has been so long. It's like so long coming. People have had this discourse about her for 5 years. And that 5 years to me, it sort of taps into what you're saying, right? That discourse has remained fixed and the same. And it just hits the same points about her over and over again, despite the fact that in that 5 years, I feel like a lot of people, like our comprehension of that whole discourse, that whole cultural appropriation discourse has transformed in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, it is kind of jarring to feel like we've come a long way since the Iggy Azalea discourse, only for this time capsule ass conversation about Awkwafina to rear its head again. And I don't know. Like, I am curious what listeners think about it. I just feel like this is the Awkwafina shit is so exemplary of the kind of thing that, like, after a point, ideally, if you're lucky in your life, you get to be too old for this shit. You're too old to be having this conversation about how, like, you think Awkwafina's black scent is the new Jim Crow. You know what I mean? Like, stop it.
You know, I am. I am. I am this. I am the. I am this. I am the small black girl that was kidnapped. That Dave Chappelle was talking about in that stand up. One time, I bust out of my captors and I'm back at home watching myself on the news at 5 o'clock, being like. Yeah, every time there's like a cultural appropriation conversation at this point, it's just kind of like, you know what? I know where I'm at. This is my bus stop. Get off me. I'm going home. it's over.
Listeners, email us soundonlypod@gmail.com with your thoughts about Awkwafina, Iggy Azalea for that matter, anybody. I don't know, man. Mikey, you got anything else this week?
Nope. Not anything else this week, but I think that we are going to, at some point in the future, talk about both Demon Slayer. Horizon Fairs and Best. Yeah, so, be on the lookout for those, or whatever. You know, that's all we got, though, this week. That's all we got!
I hope everybody had a great Valentine's Day, a sexy Valentine's Day, smooth Valentine's Day. I'm Justin Charity.
And I'm Mike Peters.
Shouts out to our producer, Stefan Anderson. See y'all next week.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.